Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally. Randy.
Thank you for tuning in today to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. Today's show is about addictive personalities, what it means to have one, what the characteristics are, and how to keep them under control. So, how do you envision someone with an addictive personality? Do you picture an alcoholic, someone strung out on drugs, a chain smoker, or a gambler down on his luck? Addictive behaviors are commonly thought of as behaviors that impair a person's ability to function. Often they do, but not all addictive behaviors have that effect. Some addictive behaviors do not negatively influence or impact the person's life. Many people are unaware that they even have the tendency because their behavior doesn't fit the image they have in their mind of those who do. Someone with an addictive personality can turn a positive activity, such as exercising, into an obsession. As one mental health expert put it, a healthy person plans exercise around their life. An addict plans their life around exercise. Those with addictive personalities have urges other people don't have that can impede their ability to make good decisions. They have the tendency to do things that are fine in moderation, things that those without addictive personalities do with no problem, but they become addicted to them. They are prone to becoming dependent on substances, activities, and other people, just about anything. And they are especially at high risk of becoming addicted to drugs, alcohol, gambling, food, pornography, exercise, work, and codependency. It is theorized that 15% of American people have a predisposition to addiction. Doctors and clinicians still debate whether or not the addictive personality exists. The National Institute on Drug Abuse calls it a brain disease. Though addictive personality has not been classified as a personality disorder by the American Psychological Association, there are common traits that those with the tendency have, certain characteristics that make them more susceptible to physical or psychological dependencies that may negatively impact their quality of life. Not everyone demonstrating these characteristics will develop an addiction. A common characteristic of the addictive personality is poor stress management skills. Without the benefit of healthy coping skills, they are prone to using substances, activities, or other people as a way to manage their emotional discomfort and alleviate stress. They have the tendency to self-medicate, believing they are only using it symptomatically, but in fact, using it as a way to cope with life. Some have social anxiety or have trouble letting their guard down. Substances help them let go and have fun. Many with addictive personalities suffer from insecurity or are excessive approval seekers. They may use substances such as drugs and alcohol to provide a temporary sense of worth, a pseudo-identity. Though they are aware that the sense of worth achieved that way is false, they like the way it feels and crave it more and more. They may turn to addictive substances in order to deal with insecurity, or they may ultimately feel powerless to stop an addiction once it starts. Another marker of the addictive personality is the lack of ability to get in touch with feelings. The feelings are there, but they may be too painful to look at. Feeling makes them feel vulnerable and out of control. This causes someone to focus outward, searching for anything that makes them feel good inside and comforts them. Those with addictive personalities often have the need for instant gratification. They crave the quick, powerful feeling that makes them feel good in ways nothing else can. The euphoric feeling is short-lived, so they are constantly seeking more. This sometimes occurs with those who have obsessive or compulsive personalities and those who are perfectionists. The ability to form emotional attachments with other people is another characteristic of those with addictive personalities. Many of these people are unable to make relationship commitments. Some alienate themselves from others, believing that trusting relationships are unattainable. Some have brief, superficial relationships filled with emotional turmoil, and often with those who also have addictive personalities or are abusive. Substances such as drugs or alcohol become substitutes for the bond they lack with others. Much has been written about genetic predisposition and its relationship to addictive personalities. Having an addict in the family does not guarantee that everyone in the family will become addicts. But many believe that heredity factors can raise a person's level of vulnerability to substance abuse or other addictions. That may explain why some gamble in moderation and others compulsively, why some can drink for enjoyment and others become alcoholics. It does seem as if those with a genetic predisposition will engage in some type of excessive behavior, but will not necessarily choose the same stimuli. Adult children of alcoholics may never drink, but they may become addicted to gambling. Children of drug addicts may exercise excessively or become workaholics. There is no single gene that determines a person's susceptibility to addiction, though through DNA testing, researchers have discovered a number of genes that link to it. One gene causes dizziness and nausea from smoking and is more present in non-smokers than smokers. I think I have that gene. Alcoholism is rare in those who have two copies of the ALDH2 gene, and other genes have been linked to narcotic dependency. Variants in certain genes have been shown to suppress dopamine signals in the brain. Those with these blunted receptors have the need to seek higher levels of stimulation to reach the same level of pleasure as those who don't have the variants. Studies comparing identical and fraternal twins estimate that genetic factors account for 40 to 60% of the occurrence of the gene variation. DNA testing can offer vital clues in battling addiction, but it is very controversial. It comes down to the nature versus nurture argument. Environment and upbringing are believed to be equally important in shaping the personality. Our life circumstances and emotional experiences may have more influence than our genetic makeup does. Under this theory, No matter what our chemical makeup is, we still have the ability to choose and control our actions. The other controversial debate is an ethical one. If DNA testing confirms that someone has a gene that may contribute to negative or addictive behaviors, that information could be used by others as a tool of discrimination. There are factors that may indicate a higher risk of developing a serious addiction. People who have difficulty thinking about the long-term consequences of their actions are more susceptible to developing an addiction. So are those who do everything in excess and to extremes, and those who substitute one compulsion for another. Workaholics may come home and drink as a quick fix for relaxing, or they may use cyber sex because they don't have time for real relationships. They may blame stress at their job as an excuse to come home and overeat. Those with addictive personalities are most vulnerable during periods of heightened stress, such as adolescence, and times of transition. People who suffer from mental illnesses, emotional disorders, and personality disorders are highly prone to addiction as well. Without being aware that they have the condition, they may self-medicate to manage emotions using substances or behaviors to relieve whatever discomfort they may feel. Nonconformists, non-achievers, and those with deviant personalities are also prime candidates for addiction. Many adult addicts report having been subjected to deprivation or overindulgent, or wide swings between overpraise and overcriticism in their childhoods. Addictions are unmanageable, excessive, and repetitive. The addiction activity begins harmlessly with a pleasurable experience, but over time, more and more of the activity is needed to achieve the original effect. The person becomes dependent on the high they get and unable to stop. If deprived of their choice fix, they will find a substitute. If they are forced to stop, they will suffer physical or psychological symptoms of withdrawal that compel them to resume the addiction. The addict loses their natural ability to cope with life without the stimulation, but denies that what he is doing is detrimentally affecting him. Work, family, and social relationships suffer, and his health declines. His desperation often leads him to take extremes in getting the fix, which ultimately creates financial and legal issues. Addictions can be classified as hard or soft. Hard addictions, also known as substance addictions, are categorized by the rapid effect they have on many aspects of the person's behavior, as well as the effect they have on everyone around him. Abuse of alcohol, barbiturates, and narcotics are usually the source of this type of addiction. This is different than substance abusers, who use from time to time. Substance addicts spend every waking hour finding ways to buy and use drugs or alcohol. With soft addictions, the abuser uses activities that are harmless to most people, and the consequences of his behavior are not immediately felt. Cigarette smoking and coffee drinking are two commonly known examples. It is much easier to hide soft addictions and cover up the behaviors that result from them. But soft addictions have the propensity to lead to more serious addictions down the road. Gambling is another common example of this type of addiction. Gamblers with addictive personalities go through three stages. In the first phase, also known as the winning phase, the person has control over his behavior. The second stage is known as the losing phase. In this phase, he begins gambling alone, gambling large sums of money, and borrowing cash to pay off mounting debt. The third phase is called the desperation phase. In this phase, the gambler engages in more risky, sometimes illegal behavior. In desperation, he may borrow money from non-conventional sources. Depression and attempted suicide are common in the third phase of gambling. Another common example of a soft addiction is eating disorders such as anorexia, bulimia, and compulsive overeating. Though there are other factors that contribute to this type of behavior, it can develop into pathological behavior that is very similar to addiction. The anorexic fixates on the goal of losing weight. Once they begin dieting, they find it very hard to stop. The bulimic is after the same goal, but their method is different. Instead of limiting their diet, they binge on large amounts of food and then purge it before their bodies have the chance to digest it. The compulsive eater is not concerned with weight loss or weight gain, though their disorder often results in obesity. They have a compulsive urge to eat, whether hungry or not. It may surprise you, but something as beneficial as exercising can become a preoccupation or addiction to those who are predisposed. Running is the most prevalent. Runners are known to get a runner's high, and they can become dependent on it. This is attributed to mood-enhancing chemicals called endorphins that are released when we exercise. An addiction occurs when the exercise activity is used as an escape or a coping mechanism, when it becomes so excessive that it injures the body, and when it negatively impacts relationships. Compulsive buying falls under the category of soft addiction. Those who do it are addicted to the buzz it gives them. It has nothing to do with what they are buying. It is simply their drug. They buy only for the sake of buying without ever intending to use it. Those with this disorder often suffer from other disorders such as depression, mood swings, and anxiety. Buying gives them temporary relief, but after they do it, they feel heightened anxiety and intense guilt. One study showed that 20% of compulsive buyers suffer from an eating disorder as well. The two newest additions to fall under the soft addiction heading are internet and computer abuse and cell phone abuse. They are much more prevalent in younger generations. Internet addiction is also known as pathological internet use, and those who suffer from it find they cannot control their usage of it. They may be drawn to online games, social networking sites, or other online sites, and spend an excessive amount of time on them. The use becomes an addiction when withdrawal symptoms such as mood changes are suffered when away from the internet. Another indication of an addiction is when cyber relationships and interactions begin substituting real ones. This addiction, as with all others, can lead to social, psychological, and work or school problems. A recent study shows that those who are addicted to cell phone use have behavioral characteristics very similar to those with addictive personalities: low self-esteem, approval-seeking, insecurity. As technology advances and cell phones become more and more indispensable, they will reinforce the tendency of over-attachment for those with addictive personalities. I'm going to take a brief break now, and I will continue this discussion immediately following the 50-second musical interlude, so stay tuned. I'll be right back. welcome back to today's discussion, addictive personalities. Those with active addictions, no matter what the substance is, use many of the same defense mechanisms to cover up their problem. The first one is denial. Denial is a defense mechanism in which a person is faced with a fact that is too uncomfortable to accept and rejects it instead, insisting that it is not true. The ability to deny that he has such a strong emotional attachment to his addiction of choice is largely what enables an addict to continue his addiction despite overwhelming evidence. The more severe the problem, the more denial there usually is. Minimizing is another coping mechanism an addict uses. They will acknowledge that something is wrong, but not make a big deal out of it. When confronted by others, they often feel and tell others that too much emphasis is being placed on the problem. Toxic shame is used by addicts to avoid taking responsibility for their problem. They see themselves as flawed and never measuring up, like their whole life has been a mistake. They believe that they are victims of their past. Because they feel defective, they seek something that will make them feel better, but it is a hole they can never fill. Blaming is similar to toxic shame in that the addict avoids taking responsibility for his problem. With blaming, he may accept some of the responsibility for his problem, but believes that others are more to blame for it. He doesn't look at how he contributes to the problem. This gives him a sense of entitlement to use his substance since it is not his fault that he is doing it. Another defense mechanism is called normalizing. Wanting to feel normal, since they feel so shameful for their behavior, they surround themselves with others who abuse the same substance and have the same level of addiction. This makes them feel more normal. Most addicts suffer from low self-esteem most of the time, aware and shameful that they are messing up their lives, addicts use grandiosity, the unrealistic inflation of their sense of self, as a defense mechanism to hide their feelings of vulnerability and low self-worth. Interestingly, the addict is somehow able to manage to have low self-esteem, yet still believe he is better than other people. Some addicts use codependency as a survival skill. It is a relationship addiction and disorder I personally suffered from for many years. I elaborate more about it in my memoir, Finally. Codependency is learned by children who grow up in severely dysfunctional homes. They learn to numb their feelings by focusing more on others than themselves. They try to fix, think for, and help other people while losing their own identity in the process. Another mechanism that is similar to codependency, but different because it is manipulative and selfish, is controlling. The addict uses controlling in an attempt to control everything and everyone around him, believing he will get what he wants. When others don't cooperate, he becomes even more controlling. It is delusional. He believes what he is doing is going to work, even though it never does. An addict will do things that cause him shame, guilt, depression, and remorse, but will not be deterred by these negative consequences. Those bad feelings just dig him deeper into the hole of despair, creating more of a need for the comfort and relief of whatever he abuses. He becomes obsessed with thinking about his next fix, unable to control the amount of time it takes from his life. No consequences are painful enough to make him stop. He will go so far as to lose his family, his career, his money, his personal property, and his home, He will lose his hopes, goals, freedom, his pride, and ultimately his life. He must continue to use just to feel normal. When he stops using, he is most likely to experience withdrawal symptoms that are physiological, psychological, or both. I can personally attest to the self-destruction of an addict at his worst and the torment his addiction causes everyone around him. In the early 80s, I was married to a heroin addict. I was not a substance user or abuser, but I was a codependent who believed I could fix him. I tell the story in my memoir, Finally. He has been dead for 22 years. His addiction killed him. Trust me, it is a horrible thing to go through. I do these shows to bring issues to light for you, so you will have the tools you'll need to make it through the challenges life has doled out to you and has waiting for you in the future. This show is especially important because knowledge can help stop the problem of addiction before it even has a chance to take roots. If you are aware of the traits of addictive personality, you are in a better position to avoid the behaviors that lead to long-term addictions for yourself and for others. By being aware of the signs, you will be able to make choices for yourself and those you care about. Having an addictive personality does not guarantee that you will become an addict, nor does having a genetic predisposition to it. They just increase the likelihood of it happening. But a healthy upbringing and good support systems throughout your life can cancel out all those tendencies. If you do recognize signs of an addictive personality in yourself, as you listen to this show, there are steps you can take to prevent it from spiraling out of control. First, you must admit that there is a problem. Take responsibility for your thoughts and actions. Be honest and objective in your assessment of it. Surround yourself with a good support system. Second, learn to face your feelings, whether good or bad. Don't put them on the back burner. Don't stuff them inside, ignore them, or medicate them. Accept them and understand them. Third, arm yourself with knowledge. Research your problems so you will not have to fear it. If you know someone who needs help, do research and share the information with them. Fourth, if you can stop partaking in the addictive behavior without needing medical intervention, begin weaning yourself off of it. Cigarette smoking and overeating eating both fall into this category. If you are addicted to a substance such as drugs or alcohol, get professional help immediately. You cannot stop these habits without medical supervision. Fifth, join a support group with people who also have your problem. It helps to know that you are not the only one dealing with it. If you would like to try attending a 12-step meeting, find out where and when they meet in your area. There are 12-step support groups for every kind of addiction imaginable. I found a very comprehensive list on Wikipedia.org by searching for list of 12-step groups. Many came up. Last but not least, seek professional help. I found this to be most beneficial in fully recovering from my codependency addiction. Ask your doctor for suggestions or call a counseling referral line. Be kind to yourself. Replace negative or destructive behaviors with positive ones. Set goals and reward yourself for reaching them. Find healthy ways to be happy, whatever they may be. Take a class in a hobby or something that interests you. Spend more time with family and friends. Surround yourself with positive people. Weed everyone else out of your life. Learn how to reduce stress in your life in ways that are beneficial to your overall well-being. Learn how to meditate. Take long, relaxing baths. Take a yoga class or learn how to practice it on your own. Take walks. Go to the gym. No one can make your life better than you can. Remember to always be your own best friend. Well, I'm sorry to say that we are out of time, but if you have any questions, feel free to email me at afinetimeforhealing@randygfine.com, Randy, R-A-N-D-I, or you can leave comments on my website. Please stop by to visit me on my Facebook page, Randy G. Fine, and like me. I have some great picture affirmations on there. You'll really like it. If you enjoy listening to my shows, please become a show follower. More followers will get this show the recognition that it deserves. Visit my blog at randygfine.com for even more inspiration and join the list of devoted followers there. All my shows are archived after broadcasting and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Talk Radio show host and author Randy Fine, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.